White. St. Helena, California, February 15, 1911. Elder W.C. White. My dear son, this is one of the coldest mornings we have had this winter. The ground is white with frost, and we can hardly keep warm, even with our fireplace packed with long, heavy chunks. Up to the present time, the days have not been so very cold. I am thankful that I can remain at home for a time, where I can be close to my helpers. Since you left, I have been very fully employed in the preparation of matter for the life of Paul. We are trying to bring out scriptural evidences of truth, and these, we believe, will be appreciated by our people. I have been anxious to bring into this book much matter that will be of special help to our workers, who may be called upon to pass through experiences similar to those that came to the early Christian church. There is, in the history of the Acts of the Apostles, much that, if appropriated in the daily life, will inspire our brethren and sisters with the desire to seek for a higher spiritual life, and for greater power, and for wisdom to cooperate with heavenly intelligences in the salvation of souls. Recently, we received, from some source, the news of Dr. Nicola's strange disappearance. His wife must be all the more afflicted because of the uncertainty connected with the case. I am made sad by this circumstance. I have not as yet received definite word from any of the relatives or friends. Last night I slept more hours than usual. I thank the Lord for restful sleep. We appreciate the letters that come to us from your own pen. Oh, that the Lord would work decidedly to build up our conference. We have the word of the Lord, and we are to appreciate its instruction. True humility will keep us learners as long as we are in this world. We are to watch unto prayer. We are to work in accordance with the Lord's plan, and not after one of our own devising. The light given me now by the Lord is that we are to be careful not to spend our precious time and our money unwisely. Many things may suit our fancy, but we are to guard against the expenditure of money for that which is not bread. We shall need much means to advance the work decidedly in our cities. Everyone is to have a part to act in the Lord's work. Parents are to instruct their children in lessons of economy, in order that the younger members of the flock may learn to share the responsibility of supporting the cause of God at this time. Often have I been instructed by the Lord to call the attention of our people to the needs of the unworked cities. And in planning to respond to this call, our brethren should remember that these needs exist also, to a greater or less extent, in the surrounding settlements as well. I am instructed to bear a decided message to all those who are interested in the proclamation of the truth in these last days. We have no means to spare for unnecessary dress or for buildings that are not positively essential. For a neglected work remains to be done, and we are to repent of our indifference toward this work and pray for spiritual discernment to see and to sense, as we should, its urgent needs. To us has been entrusted enlightening, saving truth. All about us are multitudes who have never yet been enlightened. To these we must proclaim the life-saving truths of the third angel's message. We are to hunt for souls, laboring with all diligence to communicate to others that which is for their eternal welfare. The unwarned multitudes are fast becoming the sport of the evil one. Satan is leading them into many forms of folly and self-pleasing. Many are seeking for that which is novel and startling. Their minds are far from God and the truths of His Word. At this time, when the enemy is working as never before to engross the minds of men and women and turn them from the truth, we should be laboring with increasing activity in the highways and also in the byways. Diligently, interestedly, we are to proclaim the last message of mercy in the cities, the highways, and the work is not to end there, but is to extend into the surrounding settlements and in the country districts, into the byways and the hedges. All classes are to be reached. As we labor, We shall meet with various nationalities. None are to be passed by unwarned. The Lord Jesus was the gift of God to the entire world, not to the higher classes alone, and not to any one nationality to the exclusion of others. His saving grace encircles the whole world. Whosoever will may drink of the water of life freely. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Acts 2, verse 21. But there is earnest work to be done. The gospel invitation is to be given in every place. For how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Romans 10, verse 14. The Lord desires his people to arise and do their appointed work. The responsibility rests not upon the ministry alone. The lay members of the church are to share the burdens of soul saving. Many who have never been warned may be reached by means of missionary visits and by a wise distribution of our literature. Often books can be sold to those who are visited in the highways and in the byways, and to others who are interested, books can be given away. Let companies be organized to search for souls. Let our church members open the scriptures to their neighbors in the highways and in the byways. Some may be set at work in the hedges, and thus, through wise planning, the truth will reach all districts. With increasing aptitude in the opening of the scriptures for the enlightenment of the unwarned, many will see fruit of their labors in the salvation of souls. These converted ones will, in turn, enlighten others. Thus the seed will be sown in many places, and the truth will be proclaimed to all. The Lord now calls upon those who have a knowledge of the truth for this time to arouse from their lethargy and become true missionaries in his service. Time is short, and the Lord's work must be done without further delay.